This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Brian Birdwell, retired, now a Texas state legislator in the Texas State Senate. He was at the Pentagon in his capacity with the Army on September 11, 2001, and was the man closest to the impact site who is still alive to tell his story. If you missed the first part of the conversation about where he was and the initial aftermath of the plane hitting the Pentagon, please find that elsewhere on the site. We pick up the conversation now with me asking Colonel Birdwell about the mental as well as physical endurance it took to deal with the severe burn injuries and everything else it took to recover from that horrific day. Once you were at the hospital center and the treatments began, some of the descriptions in your book are just give you chills when thinking about how painful the scrubbing of the skin had to be to get rid of the dead skin, 39, I think, surgeries. Talk about just what it was like mentally as you started that process and how you went through all that.
I had been burned with really hot scalding water back in 1985, and that was a pretty painful experience. And so to some degree I knew what was ahead of me, but given that injury was not nearly as massive as the one I had, I knew what ahead of me was going to be tough, but I didn't realize just how tough it was going to be. The thing that was so difficult, Greg, is because I had to be connected to a respirator to do the breathing for me or assist in my breathing because of the damage to the lungs. The inhalation injury, my lung tissue is actually burned, and they've got to expectorate the dead tissue out of my lungs as well. And so that respirator is doing part of that. So there's a trach that's below my vocal cords where they have placed the tube in my lungs to give me a dedicated airway and connect the respirator to. When I would be taken to it was called the tank, it's the hydrotherapy room, but it is no spa, I assure you. It's either a large stainless steel bed or a tub, like a whirlpool tub, but it's, of course, water-based, but it either has betadine, which stings, and it's colored similar to iodine, but has a greater sting to it, and then also some sort of a antiseptic, like either a mild bleach or some other chlorine-based derivative, that as you're being laid into it, it's similar to when you had that cut on your body that your mom put rubbing alcohol on. That sting feeling is what you get, but then the nurses have to exacerbate, and you're talking about whole arms, whole legs, back, not just a cut that's open and stinging, but the whole limb. And then the nurses have to exacerbate that pain feeling by having to take a wash rag to continue to clean the body, because as the body is deciding what's going to live, what's going to die, and similar to peeling an onion layer at a time, the body is losing the outer flesh a layer at a time, sometimes muscle, sometimes skin, depending upon the depth of the burn. And because of that trach below my vocal cords, there is no air passing over my vocal cords. So as I'm being lowered into this solution and I'm conscious of what's happening, and the nurses begin the process of having to clean, only the Lord can hear me scream, because there's no air passing over my vocal cords. I cannot communicate with the nurse. I mean, they know they're absolutely tormenting me. They absolutely know that. And it's out of that love that they're doing so to keep me alive. But it is the most, short of crucifixion, it's just got to be the most ghastly experience. Because it's just absolutely torturous. At least what the nurses were doing to me, I knew that they were doing for my health and my survival. Whereas our prisoners of war in Vietnam or other circumstances similar to that, the torture being applied to you is just for the sheer torment of it.
And how long did this process go on for?
About a month. I was in intensive care for 26 days, and most of those scrubbings occurred in intensive care. Then there were others that I would have some debridements. Once I was in step-down care, I would still have some of that, but not to the degree where they would be a procedure on just the arm or a procedure on just the leg in step down care. But the whole body being lowered into the tub was just in ICU for that 26 days. I went through about 15, 16 of those scrubbings, whole body scrubbings.
As well as numerous skin grafts, of course, over time.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that the grafting of the skin to the part of the body that's burned doesn't hurt nearly as much as the graft that's taken from the body. There's this, like a cheese slicer kind of thing. It's called a dermatome that they use to slice the skin off the body. That's a good chunk of skin. That's the danger of being so badly burned is it isn't just the massiveness of the injury is a threat to your to being infected because your skin's your first line of defense in the immune system. But with such a large burn, it also means there's less skin to go harvest because there's some places you can't harvest skin because it's right over bone, you know, the hands, the ankles, the you know, the scalp, elbows, things like that. So depending upon the, if with a, like I was, a 60% total body burn, there's only 40% of the body available to go get skin to do the grafting from. So the larger the percentage burn, the harder it is to go get more skin. And where they do go get it hurts like the dickens when they shave that off. The donor sites hurt a lot worse because the temperature sensation, the pain sensors are still very raw, still very present. Still hurts where it's a third-degree burn, don't get me wrong, but the second-degree burn, the nerve endings are far more active.
I was just going to head into where you are now 10 years later. Obviously, there are, I'm sure, multiple daily reminders in numerous ways. What parts physically are you surprised at how well they work, and which ones are still the biggest challenges?
Doing really well. As we've told people, you know, I'm not doing too bad for a guy that got run over by 757. There are little reminders here and there. You get accustomed to your new normal, and so my arms, you know, like when you put on kitchen gloves to do the dishes, and they've got that sticky, tacky feeling. That's what it feels like for me without having to put the gloves on. The hotter the temperature, and of course here in Texas it's been pretty hot for the last 3 months, but it'll be more exacerbated when it's hotter. But you just kind of get used to your new normal. The times that I'll be reminded is like doorknobs. All of our door handles here are levers. In our house here, and levers are much easier to open. Whereas if it's a circular doorknob, I always have to use two hands because my ability to grip is limited. So I have to use two hands to get a door open because I don't have the rough grip that allows me to get a handle on it and twist the knob open. But there'll be little things here or there using utensils or something like that. But I've been very blessed that I'm very functional because of the work that Dr. Jordan did on my thumbs. And then from a perspective of not vanity, it wouldn't be the word I'd want to use, but just from how I look with some of the reconstruction done to the eye sockets and the facial areas and the ears by Dr. Cohen, that it looked pretty normal. I'm very blessed to have the exceptional physicians that I had. But most of all, there's only one great physician, and he's why I'm alive. So,
well, let's close on the most important point, which is what the one you just mentioned, and it's certainly the point you want everyone to take away from your book, I know, as well as just understanding what you went through. Talk about just what it was like to have the Lord guiding you through this entire process. I know a lot of people said, where was God on 9/11? I know you don't ask that question.
No, I don't. I when people have asked that, and that question was asked more often closer to the events of that day, and as we've over time, we always still need to be asking in our hearts and minds as a nation about keeping God close to us. But I always tell people that God was in the fourth quarter at the intersection, on the second floor of the fourth quarter in the E-ring at that intersection, because you know, you don't survive an 80-ton jet coming through the building at 530 miles an hour with 3,000 gallons of jet fuel, because the Army made you the toughest guy in that building. You survived being 15, 20 yards from that impact because the toughest man to ever walk this earth. that is sovereign in my life and had something else in mind for me.
Well, it's an incredible story. Again, the title of the book is Refined by Fire, and as folks can tell from your new title of state senator, you're doing quite well. You're engaged once again in serving this country, and in this case, serving your constituents in Texas. And Senator, it's a thrill and an honor to have you with us to once again hear your story and see how far you've come, and it's a great inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. You take care of yourself, all right? And thank you again for the opportunity and privilege to join you and your listeners.
Absolutely. Texas State Senator Brian Birdwell. Again, he was in the Pentagon, the closest person to survive from the impact point from that American Airlines jet. The title of his book, co-authored by his wife Mel, is Refined by Fire. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.